we'll get started with the next presentation. My pleasure to be hosting Rogers Communications. I'm sure all of you know it as a leader in the communications media world in Canada. Pleased to have with us this year Tony Staffieri. Tony is Chief Financial Officer. Welcome and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be here and good morning, everyone.
Just from a big picture launch question, Rogers has their hands in the competitive market across the country in a number of verticals. So maybe just your big picture thoughts on how competition stands both from a wireless and cable perspective.
Sure. I'd summarize it by saying it continues to be healthy. We just went through the back to school period, and I would say on the wireless side nationally continues to have its competitive challenges. Mm-hmm. The good thing is it's against the backdrop of a continually increasing market, we think. Mm-hmm. We see the size of the market continue to grow at a healthy rate, and that's good for us and for the industry. And on the cable side of it, we continue to see good competition there. Our approach on that is a little different than it would have been in the past. We're trying to have a good balance of customer subscriber loadings and profitability or ARPU. So we've been more balanced than you've seen us pull back on what I would call long-term promotional type things. That's the backdrop as we head into the busy time in, right, between now and end of year. But I would describe it as generally consistent with what you would have seen in prior years.
Okay. Just tucking into wireless, as you noted, increasing at a healthy rate, subscriber growth really the driver behind that. What are Rogers' thoughts on the continuation of that growth? How long? I know we've some of your peers in the earlier this morning talking about the penetration rate in Canada alone argues for a lot of runway in that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time looking at, the drivers of it. In 2017, the market grew at about 5%. First half of this year, it's closer to 6%. Number of factors that contribute to it, certainly the health of the economy continues to help. And, as we look to that as a factor and our expectations, all indicators are that continues to move well. In terms of GDP, we look at immigration, unemployment. All those factors that have contributed to the growth in the market, we see as continuing to be there, at least for the foreseeable future. And ultimately, as you said, it comes down to the penetration rates. Canada's sitting at 87%. No reason why we shouldn't get to U.S. levels of penetration rates that sit at about 120% today. So all the factors that contribute to it, we continue to see going forward. May not be as high as the 6% that we saw most recently, but certainly a healthy rate of growth is what we forecast.
Okay. You talked in the wireless about getting into the kind of the busy period as we get to the tail end of the year. Last year was a bit crazy with some offers from Shaw and Freedom. Rogers met that pretty heavily in response, and then we had a bit of a choppy last quarter last year. What are your thoughts on the competitive environment in a four-player market? What you've seen, is it balanced out, stabilized, for Rogers' perspective?
I would say in general we've seen the competition not change much. I would say there was a bit of a spurt, as you mentioned, last fourth quarter, and that was really owed to one of the players, Freedom in particular, getting the iPhone, and I would say that was a new dynamic in the marketplace. But if we look at the way the market's shaped up since then, we've done fairly well in playing in all aspects of the market, and I would say, the top end of prepaid, all the way to the top end of our premium brand. And that's an area we're sort of slightly indexing more and more in. If you were to look at our ARPU growth rates together with subscriber growth, you can see that's kind of where we're over-indexing on in a healthy way. And so I think it overall it continues to, as I said at the outset, it's competitive, but it's competitive in a good way, and it pushes us to focus in on our strengths and fix some of the things that aren't working well.
There's a lot working well. Your churn rate's the lowest it's been ever, last decade anyway.
Yeah.
So, the ability to kind of keep that sort of customer retention in a four-player market, you're comfortable you're you've got that ability to keep it going?
Yeah, I mean, we've looked at it. It's a struggle every day, every week, and every month in terms of what is it that's going to keep customers. Mm-hmm. We've always been very good at gross ads, very good distribution network, and a number of other things that work really well for us. And you continually see us getting leading share in the gross ad. Retention is one we've had a very acute focus on. And it's come down to a number of things around the customer experience that we've gotten better at. And we look at churn, just how are we doing on a year-on-year basis? And is it continually coming down? And you've seen that improvement coming through in the last many quarters. Mm-hmm. And our expectation is we continue to be on track to continue to drive that south on a year-on-year basis.
How important is the bundle to these efforts? Obviously, a very strong component from the wired side, mirrored with the wireless. Is that a key component still for that strength? There's some discussion over the years that perhaps wireless was outside a bundle, the family use and such. But what are Roger's thoughts on the importance of the bundle?
The bundle, if you were to look at, you know, it's interesting. We have we call it bundle, or the other one we've talked about is quad play, and the industry's talked about it. For a long time now, you know, at least 7 or 8 years, and maybe even more than that, that we would see the industry move to that. I would say, other than a price discount, the bundle really hasn't played out in any meaningful way for any player across the country. Yep. Not so much in the U.S. because you still have the delineation between wireline and wireless players. Yep. Our view is slowly over time, and we think it'll happen at an increasing rate. As you get global players being able to play on both sides of it, you get the next stage of product evolution, and then having a true in-home, out-of-home, seamless experience, that's going to be key to a real meaningful quad play bundle. But we think we're a ways from that. Mm-hmm. And until that happens, we think the importance of quad play, not to say it's not important, but it'd be much more limited.
Interesting. So one of the dynamics we have coming up in the next year is another spectrum auction. So what are your thoughts on your spectrum positioning as it stands? And you can't be too specific on your objectives for the auction, but just in auctions in general for more spectrum.
You know, generally I always start with the headline, more spectrum is always good. But as we enter into the 600, in comparison to 700, which we did well in and spent quite a bit of money on, I would say given that position, our expectation is while it's good spectrum, it's less critical for us. Mm-hmm. And as we think about a 5G world, it'll be the subsequent auctions that focus on the higher band spectrum bands that increasingly will become important as well.
So maybe that's a good segue into a 5G discussion. We posed the question to some of your competitors as well. How does Rogers look at the evolution to 5G timing and opportunity-wise at this point?
Not a lot of new things to say. You know, generally from a strategy, we will fast follow, and we've been working with some of the global players hand-in-hand in terms of where the technology is going. Yeah. And I would say it's not fully baked yet. Yeah. Certainly the core pieces are there, and so from a technology and standards, we're close to being there as an industry, and we'll be closely behind. In terms of the deployment of 5G, I would say we're still a year and a bit away from seeing that. Mm-hmm. Don't be surprised, you'll see it from us and from others in the industry announcing what I would call 5G limited deployments. But I would say those are, you know, specific use cases in terms of the experimentation and evolution of it. The business cases or revenue plans for 5G are still to be evolved and developed, and I think that's a key component that needs to precede any robust 5G investment and deployment.
One of your competitors was talking about the advantage they have in fiber to do backhaul to in a 5G world. I know Rogers has historically also used microwave technology quite extensively on the network. Do you have any thoughts as far as the whether that is an issue, will be an issue, or not an issue for Rogers in a 5G environment?
In a 5G environment, it's going to be fiber and microwave like it is today, and we don't see us having any competitive disadvantage when it comes to 5G with our national network.
Okay. Verizon in the U.S. is pushing an earlier 5G launch as a fixed technology, the last mile, replacing the need for a wire for the last mile. Is there any thoughts on this from a technology perspective that we can see in Canada, or do you think this is just very specific to what Verizon needs to do in some of its markets?
Yeah, you know, the Verizon fixed wireless 5G aspect is really about substituting that last mile of copper with something else. Yeah. And for them, it's an acute problem because it is copper in the last mile, which is very limited in what it can do. For us, in our fiber network today, we rely on coax for that last mile, and coax is shown to have a lot of upside. You know, today we offer 1 gig to our entire footprint with DOCSIS improvements. In short order, it'll be 4 and 5 gigs of speed in about 18 months or so, symmetrical upload, download. And so we see a long runway for coax, sort of the last mile. And so the need to look for a fixed wireless solution, which today is very expensive, we just don't see it in our horizon. If technology changes, costs come way down, that might change, but we don't see it.
Okay. You've got a network share agreement here in Quebec. We talked to Quebecor earlier this morning about the positives and negatives of that. Your thoughts on the share and any prospect of that in other geographies, if that's something that's beneficial or something that Rogers is looking at?
Yeah, we have, as you said, the agreement with Videotron today, and we are both working at the agreement. And the network, when I say the agreement, the fundamentals of the network themselves, I think we both share a vision of having a best network in Quebec, and we continue to work with that. And we're always looking for ways to make it better for each one of us. And you can expect that to be ongoing. In terms of our plans for further network sharing agreements with others, we don't have any plans today. We'll always look at something, but it's really hard to see the economics of it working when we already have a best-in-class network up and running nationally.
Yeah, that makes sense. While we're still on wireless, maybe capital intensity, you've been very efficient over the last few years on your spending, a little bit of a ramp-up of late. Just your general thoughts on the need to spend for the wireless platform, perhaps in preparation for 5G at some point.
Yes, as you said, a few years ago we were down 8-9%. We said that wasn't sustainable. We were pausing in anticipation of 4.5G. And that's what we're deploying today. We're deploying all Ericsson, North America's choice network provider, and that's what we're deploying now. Our 4.5G technology is upgradable by software to 5G, and so we don't need to replace that equipment until the shorter wavelengths become available. And so all of that put into our capital intensity, we've always said 12 to 14% is sort of where the industry has been and likely will be, and will be in line with the industry, and roughly 12 to 14% capital intensity.
I'm going to switch to cable now, but before I do, I'll throw it out to the audience. Any wireless questions out there? Yeah, Zahim.
Tony, with the added competition in the last couple of years, the convergence in technology, think you guys have lost pricing power versus, say, 5 to 10 years ago?
Short answer is no, if we ever had it. I mean, it's always been competitive. And so it, while the industry is dominated by three parties, it's very competitive amongst the three. And it's been filled in over the last 10 years with competition from smaller regional players. So that's always been there. So I wouldn't describe any new competition coming on board in the last little while. It's come in different waves over the last 10 years. You know, if it's Freedom you're talking about, they had different names that they operated under, and we've competed with them in different segments of the market for the last 10 years. So I wouldn't describe anything unusual or different in terms of competitive intensity.
Yeah. Any other wireless questions? Yes.
Yeah, if I understand the question, there's really, you know, it was in the context of how we feel about the regulatory environment and the request for a low-cost data plan.
Yes.
I said two things. One is I think the regulatory environment we describe as well-balanced. We see the things that the regulators are trying to do to ensure healthy competition. But at the same time, it's clear that they're very appreciative of a facilities-based competition. They realize how important it is to have investments in the network for the long term of the network, and frankly that's what's led to Canada having one of the best networks in the world. And so you know, that's generally our take on it. The government requested low-cost data plans, and it's data only. And so we've submitted and others submitted for that. We understand what the government is trying to do, and made our submission along with something that we think achieves the objectives they were looking for.
Anybody else? Okay, just the switching to cable. The most topical point, I guess, is the launch of Ignite TV recently. We've talked in a few sessions this morning about the power of the X1 box, and now you're rolling out your platform. Early thoughts on the potential for Ignite?
Yeah, as you said, we just rolled it out commercially. We've had it trialing over the last year. Mm-hmm. You know, I've mentioned, I think, on several occasions, I've had it in my home since last October. Mm-hmm. And this is the IP version of X1. We've now launched it into the marketplace earlier this quarter. And that follows a very large employee trial. Mm-hmm. Involving thousands of deployments. And so we're really pleased with the product. If you haven't seen it, you know, one of the things we're really looking at right now, it's less about volume for us and it's more in the early stages. The metrics we look to are quality. What's the quality of the product? Mm-hmm. How's it performing in the home? And we like what we see there, and it's a continuation of what we saw throughout the trials. It comes with much improved internet and home, mm-hmm. whole home Wi-Fi, and so that's working well. We're looking at quality of ordering, quality of installation, quality of first bill, mm-hmm. And all those types of things. And those quality metrics are coming in nicely. We had set high standards for ourselves, and of course there's always things we can do better, and that's what we're looking for right now, is what are all the things we could do better and have to do better as we ramp up the volumes. So for the first quarter or two, that's really our focus. Mm-hmm. And as I said, we're pleased with the product. It has Netflix and YouTube fully integrated. Within a couple of months, we're going to have Amazon Prime integrated as well. And it really dovetails with the strategy of making sure that we're not competing with other video providers, but mm-hmm. making it easy for consumers to get the video content they want. Mm-hmm. And so that continues on the same strategy. It's going to be followed very closely with XFi mm-hmm. and XHome. They'll obviously follow, for us, the Ignite branding. Mm-hmm. So we're quite excited, really pleased with the results to date. Huge opportunities for mm-hmm. us.
Broadly speaking, are there margin implications early on? I mean, obviously, these opportunities will be additive over time. Any concerns from the market as far as a near-term cost? Is it CapEx? Is it OpEx? Is it anything there at all that's material?
Yeah, we've been very transparent. You know, the model, the licensing model we have is a variable cost model. And so huge savings in CapEx for us. But we think the upside in ARPU and ARPA that the product will drive will self-fund. And so it's not going to have an impact in the short term. Mm-hmm. What you'll see is some of what you would expect, the branding, advertise, MarCom spend might be a little heightened in the near term, but we don't see it having a material impact on margins and our plans for margin expansion.
So you have this product in the market just as your competitor in Toronto has launched fiber to the premises. Any initial early thoughts on the head-to-head competitive environment there, given fiber from them and Ignite for you?
Sure. Look, we've been competing with our competitor's Bell 5 brand for 10 years now, and we've been executing on our competitive internet advantage. For the last 12 quarters, we've consistently increased our broadband penetration every quarter on a year-on-year basis. And so we're pleased with the way we're executing there. And now we're adding the video, XFi, and whole home component to it, which we think makes the value proposition even more compelling. And so as our competitor continues to invest in fiber to the prem and be able to meet us on broadband speed, we think as that happens, we've now got a whole home value proposition that's much more compelling. And more it'll be not only about speed, but how simple, how reliable, and all those other value metrics are going to become increasingly important. And we think we're now moving to that as an additional competitive advantage.
You talked earlier that your priorities in cable are more focused on ARPU, profitability of the cable sub. We're seeing a lot of offers increasing data from an internet perspective. You're obviously leadership on speed, and their fiber is increasing. What are your thoughts on the pricing ability in cable in that environment, and is it really just a function of giving more for the money at some point?
Well, the whole internet industry has really been deflationary in some respects, and so it's really been about delivering what's next for a little bit more. And so, you know, the philosophy of more for more we don't see going away. Today, if you were to look at our profile, 58% of our customers, so almost 60%, are at speeds of over 100 megs. And that really talks to the advantage that we've been executing on, as I mentioned. There's a lot of headroom for upside. If you were to look at, as I mentioned today, our entire footprint can get 1 gig of speed. It's a very small percentage of customers that are actually on one gig today. So from where we are in our sweet spot to where they can move to, there's still a lot of headroom, and therefore we think a lot of room for continued ARPU improvement. You know, as we think about the whole home, we've always said more and more we think about ARPA for the home and ARPA margin for the home. And it's kind of going down the path we expected. More and more it's going to come from broadband and software interfaces related to connecting the home rather than from video, which has been the traditional cable business model, if you will. So we'll see over time, we think, much less of our margins coming from video content delivery and more from broadband and the connected home.
Question on the enterprise or the business segment. It was a focus for a number of years. You've now tucked it back in under cable in the financials. Just any general thoughts on Rogers from an enterprise perspective in your markets?
Yeah, it's something that we've focused on. And I would say if you were to look back a few years, just weren't happy with the performance. If you were to compare our performance in the small business to our peers, whether south of the border or here in Canada, in the cable sector, you can see we've underperformed. And so that's something that we are very focused on increasing our penetration. The small and mid, with a big focus on small, we think still has a lot of upside for us. We've spent the last year under new leadership in reestablishing some of the basic building blocks of how we go to market on that, which is different than the way we've done it in the past. And we're early signs. It's headed in the right direction. It's going to take some time to ramp the momentum to give us the scale we're looking for, but it's coming.
Okay. Got about 5 minutes left. I'll throw it back out to the audience again. Anybody with a question? Wanted to touch on media. I know it's a small part of your portfolio. Importance within Rogers, is a significant segment still in the longer term strategy.
It's a key asset. They're good assets. They're focused predominantly on sports, mm-hmm. Which continues to have good top line growth and good margin growth as well. I would say they continue, you know, if you look at our asset mix in terms of wireless, cable, and media, mm-hmm. I think we like the fact that they're well proportioned. Mm-hmm. We're big in wireless, big in cable, not so much in media, except for specialty assets. We don't necessarily see a need to invest more in media mm-hmm. content. We like where we are and the assets we have.
Perfect. That was a segue into discussion on sports properties. Your thoughts on the Blue Jays ownership? Any change there in the message?
No change in message. As we said before, we like the asset, and there are no plans to change the ownership of the assets.
And the NHL deal, long contract, how's that working from a Rogers perspective?
Things work well. You know, we were ecstatic the day we got it. Get a long-term deal, and you see it in the results of Sportsnet in terms of ratings. It's been a very good, profitable contract for us and continues to do well as we head into yet another season. I think the outlook for the contract continues to be on the upswing again.
Okay. So not needing to grow bigger in media, there's really not a lot of M&A work, I guess, you have to do at Rogers. There's not a lot for you to tuck in from your main segments. There's really nothing there and nothing in media. Is that fair to say that you're kind of not focused on acquisitions at this point?
I think what I would say is, you know, long-term, we think when you think about industries like wireless and cable, long-term, certainly if you look to south of the border, they are scale businesses, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of upside to consolidation in those businesses. Being practical in Canada, we just don't see that happening anytime soon in a material way. Mm-hmm. And so other than that, there really aren't other areas that we're interested in.
You have a substantial ownership in Cogeco. Again, ultimately consolidation, that might be a factor. So in the meantime, you're happy with that position?
We're happy with our position.
Just on the dividend, obviously your free cash flow profile is quite positive, notwithstanding we got spectrum auctions that we've talked about coming forward. What can you say from a board decision on restarting the dividend, if there's anything you can give us on that?
Yeah, in terms of dividend, you know, when you say board decision, it's really up to management to first make the recommendation, and we haven't made the recommendation yet, as we've said, it's nothing has really changed. We're focused on the fundamentals, grow the top line and grow cash flow. We continue to have, I would say, a well-balanced payout ratio of 55 to 60%. Our debt leverage ratio is coming down nicely, mm-hmm. 2.6 last quarter. We think we'll continue to make good improvements as we approach the end of the year. So at the right time, we'll make the recommendation and go from there, but nothing's changed.
Okay. Just one question left. I'll throw it out. Anybody? Just I neglect. Sorry. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. As I've said, I think there's healthy competition. I'm not sure I understand the question as to what the problem is somebody would be trying to fix. If you were to look at the industry in the U.S., you know, it had a four-player market, and it may move down to three players. If you were to look at the way it's played out, the industry is playing out in different parts of the world, even in Europe. You see governments encouraging consolidation. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the comment I said before that this is a scale business, and you know, the synergies of consolidation are substantial, and I think what you see playing out in the U.S. is, one piece of that.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's probably a good place to end it there. So thanks, everybody, for your interest, and thank you, Tony, for speaking with us today.
Thank you.